It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get ideas flowing in here for a caller-only program where your suggestions for future segments, they're the topic of conversation. And along the way, we will recall great discussions with guests and memorable on-air moments. Your participation is key. Let's hear what programs you want us to put together in the coming weeks and months. What do you want to learn more about? What deserves more attention? Join in on this caller-only program. That number is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email your show ideas to ideas@WPR.org. Dwayne in Weston starts us off. Dwayne, hi. What's on your mind?
Oh, good morning. It was funny that this show came on because I just said the other day, I wish it'd be a good topic, but talking to your screener, apparently you did a show maybe July or August about this, but I use Marketplace and, you know, I'm not real savvy with it, but it worked. But if you put something on for reasonably priced or even free, you'll get all these people. Oh yeah. Can I pick it up? And then they want, oh, can I get your phone number and address? And then could you verify a code for your protection?
You have to automatic be so careful.
Hack. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Automatic hack. And a lot of, and I bought some things from seniors and they were real willing to give phone numbers out. I'm like, oh, you shouldn't do it. But, and they're usually, if you check their profile, they just joined. They're really usually they're, you know, they're kind of weird names like Zara and, you know. And,
so you really want to do your homework before, encountering Facebook Marketplace, whether you're posting or buying. And, you know, I think, Dwayne, you bring up such a good point that we really need to keep our eye on scams in all places and what to look out for. So thank you so much for that show suggestion. Appreciate it.
If you're listening, I put on there no phone numbers or codes will be given, and then you don't get any of those 20, 30 instant, people coming right back saying, I want it. So I just, if that's a good thing to add, say no phone numbers or codes.
Dwayne, thank you so much for bringing up Facebook Marketplace. Barb wrote in by email this morning, and Barb would love us to produce a weekly or monthly program where a nutritionist comes on and talks about different aspects of health, like chronic diseases and supplements and trending diets. So Barb has lots of ideas there on different aspects of health and how our nutrition is affected. Thank you so much, Barb. Appreciate that idea. You know, Rebecca Gilman is a playwright and has a new play set in rural Wisconsin. Swing State is showing off Broadway in New York this month. And Rebecca joined us to discuss the play's parallels with real life Wisconsin.
I'm really inspired by where I live, and I love living in Wisconsin. My husband and I have been here part-time since 2006 and then full-time for the past 4 years. I think what I'm trying to address in the play, and you don't want to become so divided against one another that you can't be good neighbors to one another and that you can't help each other out. So a lot of the characters in the play, even though they probably would never vote for the same candidate or thrust together by circumstances that force them to take care of each other.
We're revisiting memorable moments of conversations aired on the morning show. And we want to know where should we go next with these discussions? Who should we have on? Join in on this caller only program, 800-642-1234. Email your show ideas to ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring in Joe in Platteville. Joe, hi.
Hello. I was wondering if you could do a program on the performance of Wisconsin education before Act 10 versus the performance of our educational system after Act 10. Where are we at?
So a deep dive on the historical aspect of Wisconsin's changing education system before and after Act 10. Joe, thank you so much. We do have an author. I want to give you a heads up on Thursday that is looking at education in Wisconsin and the history of voucher and charter schools. So that might be an interest after 8 o'clock on Thursday morning with that author. Joe, thank you so much for your suggestion. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
we heard from renowned climate scientist Michael Mann, who created the famous hockey stick graph. Remember that? Showing the alarming spike in temperatures in recent decades. He came on our program to discuss his new book and offer a hopeful counter to climate change doom predictions.
We are witnessing these profound climate change impacts now. Extreme weather events, deadly storms, withering heat waves, wildfires. We've seen it all. And the fear is that somehow this, we've begun some sort of runaway process that's unstoppable and it will just get worse and worse. And so that isn't actually true. The science tells us that if we bring our carbon emissions down to zero, the planet stops warming up.
And that's Michael Mann and his new book, Our Fragile Moment, How Lessons from Earth's Past Can Help Us Survive the Climate Crisis. And by the way, it was your suggestion that we bring back Michael Mann. So thank you for that suggestion. Join in now with your ideas for future programs. The number to call is 800-642-1234. Email your show ideas to ideas@WPR.org. We met a Lawrence University Spanish professor who is the new national leader in the evaluation of the College Board's Advanced Placement Spanish exam, the AP exam. Rosa Tapia talked about the benefits of AP coursework and how these rigorous classes are an incentive to apply to college.
There's research that shows that students who take from like one to two AP courses have a higher graduation rates in college, and their performance is better during their first year in college. And there's data to support this. So this can also have a financial impact because, you know, it'll be lowering their overall debt. So what we know is that students perform, first of all, they are encouraged to go to college, they perform better while they're there, and they graduate on time. More so than students who don't take AP classes. So that's one of the incentives for us educators to become involved with the program.
A recent education-focused topic there. Let's go to Terry in Fifield. Terry, hi.
Hey, hi. I was wondering if you could do more stuff on the government in northern part of the state. Seems like you guys kind of hit Wausau and stop. And there's a lot of state left to go.
So when you say focus more on local government in northern Wisconsin, what aspects are you most interested in?
Well, like road conditions and what we're doing to bring jobs up here and to try and, you know, like Marshfield Clinic with all of their expansions and so on and so forth.
Okay, so really try to, you know, broaden out from the capital and really hone in on some of these different aspects of life in northern Wisconsin, specifically the North Woods, I would imagine, as well.
Correct.
Yes. Terry, thank you so much for that and appreciate you calling in. Now Terry in La Crosse is here. Terry, hi.
Hi there.
What would you like to bring up?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I would love to hear, you know, people's experiences and ideas about the rising costs of dental care while dental coverage has kind of remained stagnant at that, you know, we cover up to $1,000 or $1,200.
The rising cost of dental care. And would you like to hear it from the insurer's perspective, the dentist's perspective? Like, what angle do you envision it coming from?
Honestly, I'd like to hear from everybody and see all the perspectives. But I know, as you know, someone who has dental problems myself, I'm looking, you know, I'm almost 40 and I've got just terrible teeth. But my dental insurance, what it's really going to cover is like a cleaning and maybe a filling or two. My teeth problems are well beyond that.
So it's thousands
really
of dollars. Yeah.
Thousands of dollars. Yeah. And not being able to go forward in the dental care that I know I need because I don't have the money. And I know it's going to lead to problems later that are going to likely cost more.
Mm. Terry, thank you for bringing this to the forefront, gaps in dental care and dental insurance. You're with us for a caller-only program as we gather up your interests for future segments this month and beyond. And along the way, we listen back to conversation highlights. What do you think should be getting more attention in these times? What do you want people to know? Drop us a line, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's a caller-only program here, and thank you so much to our producers. We have hundreds of guests each year who bring their knowledge, who bring their experience to share with Wisconsin and everywhere. So we want to know, what do you want to hear from? Who do you want to hear from? What are your ideas for future segments? Join in, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Kathy in Madison is here. Kathy, what is your suggestion?
There's a woman from Marshall, Wisconsin. Her name is Mary Kate Martin, and about 10 years ago, she went to Swaziland, which is now Eswatini, and she has now built a program for young women. It's called Hosea's Heart, and they've now graduated women. They get young girls off the streets that are being sex trafficked from ages, I think, 8, 9, 10, you know, up into their teens, and they've built a home for them and a school for them. Now there have been a couple of them that have come over to the United States and have graduated college or are trying to go through college, and what she has done is just simply amazing. They wrote a musical, I think Rising from the Ashes. They teach these girls skills and give them an education, give them a home, a safe home to live in. And I just think she'd be a fascinating person to interview. They just did a tour of this musical in the United States here.
Oh, Kathy, thank you. So Hosea's Heart is operating in Southern Africa with a Wisconsinite who started it up. And you mentioned that some of its graduates do come to the U.S.
Yes, I think I know one is at UW La Crosse, and one of the girls just started at Madison Area Technical College, you know, but they always look for sponsors for these the girls, but what she has done is just amazing. And the Hosea's Heart is based in Marshall, Wisconsin here. That's her hometown, so.
Well, thank you so much for this human interest, Wisconsin interest angle, if you will. Appreciate you calling in. Chris in Port Wing is here. Hi, Chris. Chris, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We sure can.
Good. Yeah, well, thanks for having this type of caller suggestion program. I was going to suggest that it would be very good to have a panel discussion on the economic impacts of our changing climate, because as we transition to a non-fossil fuel-based economy, it's going to be fairly disruptive, and if we don't plan ahead well and get the discussion going quickly, we'll end up not taking care of the fossil fuel industry workers. We're going to see a huge amount of stranded assets, because all the assets that support the fossil fuel industry are going to be stranded. It amounts to more than $120 trillion worth of assets. And we need to get a discussion going to deal with this effectively and provide the kind of education opportunities for people so that they can transition. I also thought that it might be good to have Catherine Hayhoe on. She just finished a good book called Saving Us, A Climate Scientist's Case for Hope and Healing in a Divided World. It's all about trying to get a more civil discussion going about the critical issue of climate in this kind of divided, polarized world we're in.
Great. Two ideas there, Chris. Appreciate that. And with the stranded assets, do you see the economic impacts of transitioning the fossil fuel industry that goes beyond, you know, I mean, that affects Wisconsin, but it affects every community. Do you see this is even outside of areas that that are rich in industry of oil and gas? Is that right?
Yeah, and just think about, for instance, the millions of dollars that are being planned to build a gas fired electrical plant called Nemadji Trails up by me near Superior. This is a $700 million project that will be stranded within 10 years. It's a plan that would plan to run the plant for more than 30 years, so that's 20 years of loss, or probably about $500 million. All that money could go into building renewable energy resources and energy storage in ways that would make the transition easier here, and also use money to fund the re-education of people so that people that are relying on money for building something like Line 5, which is another stranded asset, will see that there is good, meaningful transitional work here that they can do and make a living and, you know, feed their families with. And it's not us or them sort of situation. We all just need to work positively to a constructive transition.
Chris, appreciate you keeping the pulse on the climate crisis and bringing these ideas to the Wisconsin discussion here on the morning show. Greatly appreciate all of your listening and your suggestions here. You can join in. You know, which recent morning show programs did you enjoy most? Who would you like us to bring back for another conversation? And where do you want discussions to go next? This program is dedicated to you and what you want to bring to the morning show. So maybe you have questions you want to explore, stories or experiences you wish to share with fellow Wisconsinites. Call in now, share your show ideas at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Opioid manufacturers and distributors are paying more than $50 billion to settle lawsuits over the toll of the opioid epidemic. And we recently talked with KFF Health News journalist Aneri Patani about how Wisconsin is utilizing its share.
In Wisconsin, the money is divided between local and state government, which is true of most states. In Wisconsin, 30% of all the settlement funds are controlled by the Department of Health Services. And they have been pretty transparent. They have a website where they list their annual spending plans. They have to submit their plan for the money to the Joint Committee on Finance in the legislature. And they have been putting out quarterly reports that explain where the money went. But then you have the other 70% of the funds that are controlled by county governments and local governments. And there's a requirement that local governments keep their settlement funds in sort of a separate account and don't just throw it into the general fund so that it is used separately and appropriately. But there's not a lot of public reporting requirements. And so the bulk of the money, which sits with local governments, might be really hard for members of the public to track and understand where it's being used, how it's being used, if it's being used appropriately.
We are revisiting memorable moments here of recent conversations on the morning show. And we want to know where we should take the conversation next. This is a caller-only program as we hear from you, gathering up all your show ideas. Call in now at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Anna wrote in by email. Anna wants to know how access to over-the-counter birth control next year could change the dynamics of birth control, pregnancy rates, and population growth. And so Anna, seeing a conversation about reproductive health and what happens next in Wisconsin, appreciate your insights there, Anna, to take the conversation in new places. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Bob Jake is a board member of Wisconsin Underwater Archaeological Association and a Great Lakes shipwreck hunter. We recently talked about his discovery of more than a century-old shipwreck near Algoma's Lake Michigan shoreline.
The morning was so good, we decided to pick up the speed on the boat to cover as much area as possible with the good weather. We talked about it for about 45 seconds, if we should go back and slow down and get better images of it. We weren't sure. So we did do that. We turned our boat around, went back over it, and we could tell right away we had a shipwreck. And we were pretty elated. But the next thing we did then was we stayed on site for about 2 hours, going back and forth at different angles over it to generate more images. So by the time we left there and went back to Algoma, we were about 95% sure we had found the Trinidad.
Recent conversation there with Great Lakes shipwreck hunter Bob Jake. Andy in River Falls wrote in by email. Andy is seeking updates on logging and forestry from industry experts. And Andy wants to know about the future of this industry and sustainability in the wake of recent pulp mill closures. So a good deep dive into the forestry and logging industry that Andy is seeking there. You can join in as we open up the lines and find out where you want to take the morning show next. Let's talk about the programming you want to hear this month and beyond. Email your show ideas now. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's the morning show here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We invite your ideas for future segments on this caller-only program, and the ideas are endless on what could make a segment. In recent days, we've talked about distracted driving. We've welcomed back renowned climatologist Michael Mann, thanks to your suggestions. So keep them flowing. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Kathy in Madison. Kathy, what's on your mind?
Hello. My idea is that a program take a look at the disparities between blacks and whites in the state of Wisconsin. I know that our state has the worst disparities. We have the greatest achievement gap between black and white students in our schools. I think we might have the largest disparities in incarceration. And I'm wondering how we got here when considering that in the Great Migration, you know, black people were flocking from the south to the north in cities like Milwaukee to have these great industrial jobs. And what happened? So I want to know, why do we have this achievement gap? Or, you know, what parts of it is it not just achievement? Mm-hmm. How did we come to this place? And what can our state do about this? I mean, I'm afraid that black people won't want to move to Wisconsin, or we'll have a brain drain and the ones that are here leave. And I look at my neighbors and think, why do they want to live here? I know that lots of black people are successful and happy in Wisconsin, but our statistics are bad.
Kathy, thank you for that. As we look much more deeply, past, present, and future, on the disparities between Wisconsinites of color and white Wisconsinites and what can be done. Thank you so much for that suggestion. Let's go to Tanya in River Falls now. Tanya, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for doing this.
Yes, go ahead.
I would love to hear more about what is happening around the state with people's efforts to live more sustainably in every aspect, in food production, in energy use, in water use, transportation, the big and the small that is happening to inspire us to keep on going and do our best to live more sustainably.
How, Tanya, have you changed your life in terms of sustainability?
Working a lot of things over a lot of years. Been composting now for more than 30 years. I've been just, even though I'm in my 50s, I just started learning how to can, and I'm loving it. I've been doing more dehydration over the last several years. I'm saving my water to water plants as much as I can. I use rain barrels. Thank you for asking.
Tanya, thank you so much about this topic of sustainability and how it's touching so many aspects of life here in Wisconsin. We appreciate it. We have it down. Chris now in Milwaukee is next. Chris, hi.
Hello. I saw in Sunday's paper the death notice of Wayne Hill, and I was shocked. He went on to manage your radio stations, four radio stations around the country, including WUWN. He was the chairman of the Mass Communications but this man did so much to help public radio, public television, and I just by a fluke came across the flyer he gave to me way back when in Cleaning the Apartment, 1967, in which he says the most advanced educational toy is television. It can take a child anywhere, but it can brainwash the child, just like voucher schools, the other area I would like you to cover, and emphasize the difference that public schools are the base of our democracy, and democracy is the base of our freedom, and you take that away, everyone loves, just let me finish, everyone loves public schools, everyone wants individual attention, but every time a kid goes out to a voucher school, it takes about $8,000 away from the public school.
And Chris, I want to jump in here because you're going to be really interested in Thursday's conversation. We have an author who looks deeply at the entire history of vouchers in Wisconsin and charter schools in Wisconsin and across the nation and how they have evolved. So do please do tune in for that conversation after 8 o'clock on Thursday, this Thursday. And your profile of Ruane Hill, we have that down as well. Thank you so much for calling in. Mike now in Superior is here. Hi, Mike.
Hi. There was a few months ago an article or several articles the New York Times about someone who claimed that they had discovered superconductivity for electricity. And then there was some pushback from other researchers who tried to mimic it but couldn't reconstitute the results. If that were to be true, it would make a profound impact on electricity and sustainability, and it would be one of those game changers. But I'd love to see somebody follow up and see what's actually true and what's not. And the other point is 20 or so years ago, I heard a UW-Madison professor talk about helium-2, which is something that apparently exists only on the surface of the moon. And he was talking about what industries could be developed on our planet if we were able to go to the moon and do some harvesting of this helium-2, I believe it was. And I'm not sure where that's at, but I thought I'd pass those along.
Mike, thank you so much. Sleuthing superconductivity, the superconductor at ambient pressure, and we appreciate that as well. And the moon and what we can harvest from there. So taking conversations in new directions. And Ron now in Manitowoc is here. Ron, hi.
Good morning. Thank you. From about 1900 to 1932, the state government of Wisconsin was dominated by Republican governors, and yet this was considered a progressive era. I think a knowledgeable historian would be interesting to describe this and how the Republican Party has changed. And also, it should be nice to hear our new director, Sarah, from WPR on the radio, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. And just a highlight there, Sarah Ashworth is the new director of Wisconsin Public Radio. And Sarah was on Central Time on August 10th. So you can look up that conversation. We learned about her background in public radio and what excites her about Wisconsin Public Radio. So there is that conversation. Ron, thank you so much for calling in. We have down as well the evolution of the Republican Party in Wisconsin. And now let's go to Randy and Ripon. Randy, hi.
Hi, good morning. I just have a suggestion, and I don't know if it's been brought up in the past, but most people don't know where the corporate model or idea derives from, and what our founding fathers of the nation had in mind with it. I mean, I educated myself, but it'd be nice if you could have a guest on with a history of that. Someone probably more articulate than I am, but that's something I think we need a better education on that, and of course where we are now with it.
So a deeper dive on where corporations came from and how they exist today and the idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Randy,
that dominates our politics.
Thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it. As we take a look at your ideas for future conversations, there's room for you to discuss what's on your mind and really share where you want to take the morning show next and what should the morning show cover, what topics and issues matter most to you, your family, your community. Share your ideas now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Heard from Carol in Milwaukee, called in and says that they would like to hear a program and how income disparities affect things like real estate, taxes, education, and healthcare. Carol, thank you so much for that show idea on income disparities and how families are affected. Mike in New London would like to hear about the history of the conflict in the Middle East, insights in light of the new fighting in Israel and Gaza. So really some historical analysis on the present day conflict that is erupting in the Middle East. Mike, thank you so much for that show idea as well. You can join in, call in with your show ideas, 800-642-1234, as we collect future show ideas from you. We're also rewinding on some memorable conversations, but there's still time to talk on this caller only program. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It's a caller-only program dedicated to you and what you want to bring to these Wisconsin conversations. Let's bring in Mario now in Ashland. Mario, hi.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. My suggestion for a topic in the future is the production and processing of hemp products here in this country. My understanding is hemp is a very viable, versatile product as far as clothing, paper, oil, etc. And I know they grow a lot of it in Canada. And I'm just wondering what is preventing us from going on a larger scale of this
scaling up hemp products.
Very valuable product.
Mario, do you use hemp products in your life?
I can't really afford them, and they're not that accessible.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand cotton is very demanding in water for the production of our clothing. And in the past, Wisconsin was a very important hemp-producing area during World War II. And I hate to be too skeptical, but I wonder if special interests are preventing this serious production of hemp.
All right, Mario, thank you. Checking in on how to scale up hemp production in Wisconsin. What is holding back the crop? What is holding back the industry? Appreciate that, Mario. Let's go to Artie now in Madison. Artie, hi.
Hello. I would like to hear from an expert at Social Security and also experts from Medicaid. They're both very complicated programs, and there's so much misinformation thrown around out in the media and stuff that I think it'd be nice to be able to call in, you know, maybe a couple times a year and get the actual right answer from somebody that knows.
So someone who really understands the benefits and what it means, what it entails, complicated programs. Artie, thank you so much. We heard from Eric in Green Bay, shared a few ideas by email. Eric would like more conversation about the trades and healthcare, Wisconsin's hunting and fishing traditions, and factors driving declines in public school enrollment. So Eric there in Green Bay with multiple show ideas. You can share yours at 800-642-1234. Mary in Door County is next. Mary, hi.
Hi. I'm calling Jacksonport. Years ago, you had a program, and it was quite wonderful and I think popular, where you would have a poet or maybe the poet laureate of Wisconsin or past poet, but they would host a program where you would talk about the change of the season, and maybe the poet would read something that they've written, but then you'd invite the audience to submit a favorite poem of theirs and short and read it again, either the seasons or the major holidays of that month. I really enjoyed that program, but right now, with autumn, it would be great.
You have it on your mind at the change of seasons and in poetry, right, helping us make that transition. And, you know, talking with Wisconsin's poet laureate, Mary, appreciate that idea and just, you know, sharing the significance of poetry in our lives and how we can share it among each other here in Wisconsin. Let's go to Mark now in Bloomer. Mark, hi.
I got to say, I love the idea of the poetry. Two thumbs up all the way. The thing I'd like to hear discussed is, you know, I understand, I don't agree with it, why different religions fight with each other. But why in the 21st century do, for example, Protestants and Catholics still not like each other? I'd love to have people who are, you know, sort of leaders in the two camps discuss and explain why we can't all at this point get along and just play nice with each other.
What do you think happens when different religious sects have tensions or disagree? What happens in society?
That's a good question. I think we get further apart. My wife and I are a Protestant Catholic mix. She never argues religious. She argues the dishes. We get along just fine.
Oh, Mark, thank you so much. As we take a closer look at religion and how it affects our lives and society in Wisconsin and how we get along, you know, you can call in with your show ideas right now at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Share what's on your mind and where you would like to take the morning show next. We recently organized a panel discussion on the strength of American democracy. And let's take a listen here. Former conservative talk show host Charlie Sykes on Wisconsin Republicans calling for the impeachment of State Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz.
You quite literally have Republicans poised to use their gerrymandered supermajority to wipe out the results of an election, to simply erase the vote of more than a million Wisconsinites who voted for a progressive Supreme Court justice. That I think, takes us into a whole new territory where we're not just talking about election denialism. We're talking about active election nullification. And if that's not a threat to the democratic process, I don't know what would be.
Political analysis there from Charlie Sykes on a roundtable. Let's go to Jody in Brooklyn. Jody, what is your show idea?
Hi, I have two ideas. One, I would like to be able to understand the recycling process. We recently got a letter concerning our recycling here, and we had questions, and we've not been able to get clear answers as to what can be recycled and what can't. And then my other topic I'd love to hear more about is how do you really go, excuse the dog.
That's okay. We love
dogs.
How do
you really go? Yeah, they're on air too. How do you really go about finding a reliable lawyer?
What aspect of law are you particularly interested in, Jody?
Well, I've had occasions, serious occasions, but the most recently would be a wrongful death in the family. And so it's been really disturbing what we have been through with lawyers and what what has transpired. It's been really frustrating.
Okay, Jody, thank you for sharing that personal account and how you go about hiring a lawyer and representing your case. As we make inroads here, trying to figure out where you want to take the conversation next on The Morning Show, sharing your show ideas. Dave is with us in Keewaskum. Dave, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So I would like to hear more about the process that Native American communities have to go through to get recognized by the government. My understanding is that a lot of Native American and First Nations communities across Canada and the U.S. Still don't have recognition from their federal governments. Some are only recognized on a state level, and there are lots of bands that aren't recognized by any government body, and I would like to hear why that is and why it's such a struggle.
Interesting. Dave, thank you so much. And the different layers of being recognized as a tribal nation, both at the state and the federal level, how did this come up for you? How does it affect your community?
Well, yesterday was Indigenous Peoples Day, so mm-hmm. had me thinking about it. And also, I am presently studying Native American languages, and yet working with the people closely, you hear about their struggles.
What Native American language are you studying?
Presently, I'm studying Potawatomi and Ojibwe.
And why did you take that step? Why are you doing that?
Well, I'm studying conservation, and I would like to work with the Native American peoples of northern Wisconsin someday.
Are you concerned about these languages dying out? Because we did a recent conversation about that and about the living language and how to preserve them. What are your insights there?
Well, I'm just a student. I can't really speak to that, but I do have several very good teachers, and I have the utmost confidence that they'll keep the traditions going.
Oh, Dave, well, appreciate you calling in and with this show idea and these caller suggestions. They're just amazing. So thank you so much for listening and for sharing your show idea, Dave.
Yeah, thank you.
And, you know, here on The Morning Show, we have hundreds and hundreds of guests who come on our show. So feel free to speak up anytime and share your show ideas over on our program page. You can get in touch with us as well at ideas@WPR.org. And we really want to hear from you at any point in the conversation, regardless of what the topic is. So save our call-in number to make it easier for you. That number is 800-642-1234. Thank you so much for sharing all your show ideas. Don't forget, you can visit our program page, fill out that quick two-question form to share more with us. Find it at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.